Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta with Dr. Peter Williamson. The book is Revelation, the last book of Sacred Scripture. We're taking a look at its meaning in this hour. He is the author of an outstanding commentary in the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture series. So we were talking about the warning signs, and from chapter 6 through chapter 9, and some of those warnings are warnings about human sin, the consequences of human sin, the aftermath of war, and then there come the warnings about earthquakes and other natural disaster phenomena. Are those meant to be understood as natural disasters, or are they meant to be understood as symbolic for the collapse of a civilization?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one that we can't know for certain, because we do know that the Bible sometimes uses cosmological phenomena, earthquakes and so on, to describe earth-shattering events. Changes in
the heavenlies,
governments, and changes in the heavenlies, and so on. Now, one reason to think that it might be speaking about actual cosmic disasters and signs in the heavens is that Jesus himself spoke about these kind of things.
Okay.
Now, some people would argue that he was speaking just about changes in society and governments and political things.
Right.
But and it could be. I won't rule that out. It's not crystal clear. It's set in symbolism.
Yeah.
But my own inclination and best judgment after studying it is that it really is speaking about cosmic disasters.
Okay.
And we have them. See, I wouldn't say that these are great literal cosmic disasters in the way that they're described. In other words, I think that they're described dramatically, symbolically, but they're the kinds of disasters that we actually know about.
Okay.
It's like the tsunami that hit, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
It's like some of these immense earthquakes, like the earthquake that leveled Haiti. There have been a lot of these, actually, and you can look up disasters, Google it on the natural disasters, Google it on the internet, and how many millions have been killed in these, and it's quite extraordinary.
Right.
So we've lived through an age like this, and they in the first century had probably, at the time this was written, the disaster in Pompeii, and where the sky was darkened for weeks because of of the lava and the ash and so on floating in the atmosphere. And so many of these things, or they had many earthquakes actually in this particular region during this time. So I think it was a symbolic way of talking about things they already knew, just as the seals represent things we already know in terms of war.
Okay.
So it's not just a distant future thing that's going to all of a sudden start at some point. These are the realities of life now that God sends as warnings to lead people to repent.
This is the world we're living in, living in. Yeah.
Yes. So in a certain sense, it's the future, but it's also the present.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. When there are a number of different features here that people are curious about, I'm curious about, like, who are the two witnesses? What's that about?
Yeah. This is chapter 11 of Revelation, and it's one of the most challenging, puzzling text to talk about. My own judgment is that chapter 11 speaks about the role of the church.
Okay.
And so it begins by speaking about a vision in the first 2-3 verses of in which John sees people worshiping in the temple, and he's commanded to count them. And to measure them. It says, "Then I was given a measuring rod like a staff. I was told, 'Come and measure the temple of God and the altar. Count those who are worshiping in it. But exclude the outer court of the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been handed over to the Gentiles to trample.'" Well, I think that the temple it speaks about is not the temple in Jerusalem, which was probably destroyed at the time Revelation was written. And it wasn't the temple in heaven, because it says the outer court is trampled by the Gentiles.
Yeah.
So I think the temple that it speaks about and the altar that it speaks about is the church. And it's speaking about about John to measure as a way of sort of marking the safety, the protection of God that keeps the people of God as they worship him, as they belong to him. Now, it says something interesting. It says that the time that this is going on, where people are worshiping in the temple, but the outer world is in the power of the Gentiles, trampling it, the unbelievers, is for 42 months. That's a number that's equivalent to three and a half years.
Yeah.
And it's a common number in Revelation to describe both the time of, if you will, the whole age of the church, and then also it's used, it seems, to describe the sort of final trial of the church.
Okay. The tribulation.
The so-called tribulation. Now, the reason I say that, and I'm sorry that it's a little roundabout way to get to the witnesses, but immediately following that is the text that says, I will commission my two witnesses to prophesy for those 1260 days wearing sackcloth. So it's basically the same period that the church is worshiping in the temple, guarded by the Lord in a special way, while the world is being trampled by the Gentiles. It's during that same period that the witnesses give testimony. So there are two possibilities. Either that this just refers to an end time event, and that's the position of the dispensationalists and of some, that not only dispensationalists, but other some church fathers have said this refers to, you know, Elijah and who else? Enoch. You know, there's various figures that are picked out. But then a number of the church fathers also took the view that this represents the church. Some said it was the church of the Jews and the Gentiles.
Is it a chastened church or a repentant?
Yes, the idea of the sackcloth is that the church is preaching repentance. The church is itself repentant.
Okay.
And the church is in mourning and grieving and intercession for the world.
Yeah.
So it's the missionary church. So the idea of the witnesses, whether it's two prominent special people at the end of history, or whether it's the testimony of the church all through history, is that we're preaching the gospel, we're preaching repentance, we're living repentant, obedient lives ourselves, and that there's a great power that accompanies that witness. So it's depicted in very colorful terms here in the book of Revelation, with calling down fire from heaven and shutting up the heavens, you know, from rain and so on. But I think it means the charismatic power of the proclamation of the word of God that affects a change.
Very good. Very good. Let me jump to another image that I know listeners want to hear about, and that is the image of the woman, the sun, and the 12 stars. And I think most listeners accept that as the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
And I would imagine in the first century, it would have been hard for any anybody who was familiar with the history of the church not to envision that as the mother of Messiah. But you tell me.
Yeah. Well,
because I know there are alternate explanations, or there are other meanings that can be seen in there.
Exactly. And I think what we need to see here is that that we're speaking about typological meaning. So we're speaking about not just one meaning to the woman in Revelation chapter 12. Now, you know, it begins by speaking about a woman in the sky clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. So this woman is identified with Israel, with Zion. The 12 stars is the 12 tribes. And this is actually kind of an echo of a vision that Joseph had. Remember when he had this vision of his father and his mother and his 11 brothers bowing down before him. So this is kind of like a slightly different version of that. And it's pointing to, if you will, all of Israel, God's people of the Old Testament. And it's that body, Zion, or the people of God, Israel, who gives birth to the Messiah. But of course, we know that Zion, that Israel, was embodied in one particular daughter of Zion.
Yeah, I was going to say the daughter of Zion.
Mary. Namely Mary. And so it speaks about the woman giving birth and the dragon standing there wanting to devour her child when she gives birth. And of course, we can't help but think of the story of Herod wanting to kill the Christ child. But then, of course, it was not just Herod, but in the end it was Satan and Pilate and the Jewish people,
the Jewish leadership,
who decided to get rid of Jesus and who tried to kill him and, in fact, were allowed to kill him. But then the woman, it says, flees to the desert where she had a place prepared for her by God, verse 6. so that she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. That's the same figure, by the way, of 3.5 years of 42 months. So it's another indication that the whole church age is envisioned here, because that's the time of the woman's being in the wilderness. Now, later on in the chapter, and we can't go to it in detail, but it spells out more what happens there. And it basically seems to refer to the time of the church in the world when Satan is attacking the church, but God is preserving the church. So we see in the second part of the chapter that the woman is no longer simply Mary, but it is the whole church.
Yes.
So the woman is actually three things in one.
Right.
She is Israel, the daughter of Zion. Mm-hmm. She is Mary, the mother of God, mother of Christ. And then she is the church.
Right.
And so that's the typology presented in that chapter.
And the Blessed Mother is often called Daughter of Zion.
Exactly.
She's often called the Mother of the Church as well. So, I mean, it's a fascinating image.
Yeah.
Let me, because I don't want to run out of time. We were talking about warning about sin. We're talking about protection.
Yeah.
How about victory?
Yeah.
Let's go to the victory passage.
Good. And chapter 12 is a an important place for it, because what happens in chapter 12 is that Michael fights with the dragon and casts him down. War in heaven. So Michael, whom we only know from the Bible, from the book of Daniel, and he's known there as the prince of the people of God, the prince of Israel, the angelic defender of the people of God. He has a role of casting down Satan here in Revelation 12. But then when that is celebrated in a hymn in verses 10 to 12, when it speaks about, it doesn't talk about Michael, it says, rejoice, now have salvation and power come, the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed, of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, the devil, is cast out, who accuses them before our God day and night. And then it says, they conquered him. Hmm. So it speaks about Christians conquering the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Love for life did not deter them from death. So what we see here is there's a combination of things. It's Christ's death on the cross that defeats the devil. We know that for certain.
Right.
And many New Testament texts speak about that. But it seems that Christ's victory over the devil was, if you will, implemented through the agency of the angel Michael.
Yeah.
So God likes to do things through angels.
Sure.
he doesn't always do it directly himself. Yeah. He likes to do things through angels.
Yeah, they were his ideas.
Yeah.
Right?
he likes angels. And then not only were they defeated by angels and by Christ, but by Christians who are Christ-like, who bear witness, give testimony, and who don't remain attached to their lives, but they're willing to lay down their lives.
We've got about 30 seconds.
So
take me to the end.
Okay, well, the book of Revelation is about victory. In the first few letters, each of the letters ends, to him who conquers, I will give. Yeah. But then in chapters 21 and 22, we see that this victory is bestowed on the people of God. God makes us worthy and capable of victory, and brings us into his eternal paradise.
Peter, thank you so much. We'll do this again.
I'd like to do
it with Ephesians, too. I want to set up a rate. In fact, you and I should talk. I'd like to do like a whole series.
Sounds good.
On this. All right. Dr. Peter Williamson, great commentary on the book of Revelation, part of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture series.